This is the future.
You built a time machine out of a DeLorean?
It's alive!
It's the sound of science!
You don't have to be a scientist to realize how absolutely catastrophic this scenario could be. An astronaut on a spacewalk, and something punctures his or her spacesuit, or something breaches the wall of the space station. But thanks to researchers at the University of Michigan, NASA may have itself a fix for such potential catastrophes: self-healing plastic. Scott Zavada has been working on this technology. Scott is a graduate student in the Macromolecular Science and Engineering PhD program at Michigan. Good to have you with us, Scott.
Good to be here.
So material that could heal itself after it's punctured?
Yes. It utilizes oxygen to initiate a transformation where a liquid will turn into a solid. So if this were to puncture the wall of a space station, of a spacesuit, or some kind of exploration habitat on the surface of the moon or Mars, there'd be this liquid material within the walls of that habitat or spacecraft. As the oxygen starts to rush out through that hole, it initiates a reaction, turns that liquid into a solid, and plugs up the hole.
And how quickly does this happen?
Seconds.
Boy, what's it look like when that happens? Can you really see it as it's healing itself?
It's a solid little piece of plastic polymer, just a little gel slug, a couple of millimeters in diameter.
What is this liquid? So is it sandwiched between a couple of layers?
Yeah, so we have the way we've done the testing so far is we take two sheets of plastic, and within this plastic, under anaerobic conditions, so with no oxygen present, we inject this liquid goo. It's made up of different types of reactive monomers, and there's a third component where we have a chemical that reacts almost violently with oxygen. So when oxygen comes in contact with this, what we call an initiator, it starts a reaction, causes all the other molecules that are present to couple together, and you go from this goo to a solid, a kind of a rubbery, plasticky type material.
Wow. So what does NASA think? What kind of uses are they saying? Go a little deeper.
They're pretty excited. Right now we're looking primarily at exploration habitats. NASA is beginning to get very ambitious again. They want to get men back to the moon, and really they're looking at taking men to Mars. These are much longer missions than what we had in the Apollo missions in the 70s. So they're going to need some kind of habitat where the astronauts can live, work, and sleep safely. But they're so worried about the vulnerability of those structures. They need something fairly with thin walls, lightweight, so it's easy to transport up there. But they're worried about micrometeorites or other kinds of orbital debris that would punch a little hole, a couple millimeters in diameter, that would allow the atmosphere to leak out, putting the lives of those inside at risk.
And with this, before they even knew what happened, it's healed.
Yes.
That's exciting. What about uses back here on Earth?
I know. I think it could have some use for aerospace, especially for airplanes, high altitude, in that kind of situation.
That is fascinating. What's next? I mean, what has to happen to get this material out of the lab and into production and use?
There's a lot of work yet. This is really the first step. So what we did was some testing at the NASA Langley Research Center over the last two summers. I worked there with my NASA advisor, Dr. Keith Gordon, and we took the panels of this material to a NASA ballistics range, and we fired bullets at it. And that worked beautifully. And this is the paper that we published back in July in ACS Macro Letters. The results were outstanding. This got everyone very excited, but this is just the first step. The next step, and I'm working with the NASA Glenn Research Center, is where we have a pressure differential on either side. So we have a pressurized box where we put, on the front of the box, we put our sample panel, and this sits within a much larger vacuum chamber. This will simulate the conditions that you'll have on Moon or on Mars, where a spacecraft or a habitat was going to be pressurized, obviously.
Right.
And there's little atmosphere on Mars and none on the Moon. We did some initial tests a couple months ago, and it was very promising, because the problem is if you have a pressure differential, the liquid's just going to want to spray out.
Sure.
Towards the vacuum.
Sure.
So we had to use some tricks to try to keep that liquid contained before it has a chance to spray out and give it a chance to thicken up quickly. And it worked fairly well. It's encouraging. There's a lot more testing that we'll have to do. I'll probably do that later this year or early next year.
You know, as you talk about this, you're like a kid in a candy shop. You are so excited doing this, which is pretty cool when you think about, I mean, isn't this what engineers like you dream of, this kind of project?
This has been so much fun. I worked in industry for 13 years. So it was a big step for me to give up my career, give up a lot of money, and come back to live the life of a PhD grad student at Michigan. And I've never regretted it once. It's been such an amazing experience. My first year is when I received the fellowship from NASA, and working with NASA has been just a dream come true. is such a neat organization. I've had so much fun with this project.
And just the idea that what you said is they're getting – they're ramping things up again and getting serious about launching American astronauts again is pretty, I think, exciting to those of us who grew up watching Mercury and Gemini and Apollo and feeling sad when it stopped.
Yes. I mean, I was not – I'm not quite that old. Yes. But I remember the early days of the space shuttle and how it was a big deal every time that got launched. When I was in elementary school, they would roll in a TV. We got to watch it launch. I was absolutely fascinated with NASA. Mm-hmm. So working with them has been a lot of fun.
And is that where you think you'll be going after you're done?
Maybe.
Okay.
They have dropped some hints that they might want me to work with for them, and which I would strongly consider. But I also wouldn't mind being a professor and having my own lab. So I'm looking at both options right now.
So who have you been working with at Michigan?
I work for Professor Timothy Scott. He is a professor in the chemical engineering department. I am his first graduate student, and I should be the first one graduating with a PhD, I hope, in about a year. But he's been a tremendous advisor, very encouraging, very supportive, and it's been a lot of fun working with him.
Well, the idea that you're taking things that people learn, you know, even the kind of chemical reactions we learned about way back in high school, but you've taken that and amped it up and made it exciting.
Yes.
And with a real-world application, I think it gives hope to people that are sitting in those kind of classes now realizing that they could have that big smile on their face like you do right now.
Well, I hope so. I hope this inspires someone to take it even further.
Scott Zavatta is a chemical engineer and a grad student PhD candidate at the Macromolecular Science and Engineering PhD program at U of M. Part of the team is developing self-healing plastic able to plug a hole in seconds. Scott, it was great to meet you and talk with you. Thank you.
I had a lot of fun, too. Thank you.